The book of Nehemiah, please. Nehemiah chapter number 3. Nehemiah chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 13 of Nehemiah chapter number 3 this evening. Continuing our study in the gates here in Nehemiah. I want to remind you, as we look at each of these gates, that we're looking for application in our life. What could this mean to us? Is there areas in our life that we need to restore? Are there areas in our life that are broken down and decay? And we looked at the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, and this evening the fourth gate that we'll look at is the valley gate. In verse number 13 of Nehemiah, the valley gate repaired Hanun and the inhabitants of Zanoah. They built it, set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. We find this fourth gate, the valley gate, and it, like these other gates, the names, those that are involved, and the things, specific parts of this gate that's restored. We find that from this gate here, there's 1,000 cubits that they build from the gate to the next gate, which we'll study in a week to come here, the dung gate. We find here that this is a fourth gate. An area, we find the sacrifice and worship of the sheep gate. We found the fish gate, the soul winning in our life. If there's areas in our life that we need to grow in that area, the old gate, the path of worship, the Lord planned for us, and there's a specific way He desires for us to worship Him. This gate, this valley gate, would also be seen as a place of humility in one's life. I want to talk to you this evening and look at this thought of humility. The thought of humility in our life. The reality is this, is not a gate that many want to use. This is a gate of humility. It's a gate where all of us need to look at. It's a gate that all of us need repaired. But humility is a difficult thing. Humility goes against us as human nature. Pride is one of those characteristics that all fallen beings possess. Every single person here in this room is going to battle with pride. It's a trait as human beings that we have, and none of us have anything worth being proud about. But the reality is this, as humans, our sin nature, it causes us and allows us to battle with this area of pride. Pride is it's a root of sin, and it has at times been a problem for every single person. And I pray this evening as we talk about this subject that you'll just allow the Lord to work in your life. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the psalmist wrote this, pride goeth before destruction. Pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. I want us to let that verse sink in. Pride. Pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 8:13, the Bible says this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. And we find here, we'll look at this thought throughout this evening as well. The Bible says this, that God, the Lord, hates pride. He says, do I hate pride and arrogancy and the evil way? And there's absolutely nothing about pride that is appealing to the Lord. The Bible, actually, it says that He resists the proud, giveth grace to the humble. There's nothing about a haughty spirit, there's nothing about pride in our life that is appealing to the Lord. Proverbs tells us that the Lord hates pride. You know, I've come to realize that most people don't recognize pride in themselves. Pride is one of those things that we can so easily see in the life of someone else, but it's very difficult for us to recognize it in our own life. It's not easy for us to recognize it and deal with it. Not many people say, you know what, it's proud. This situation is my pride, or this situation is me and my arrogancy or my haughtiness. This is my fault. Most of the time, we can see pride in the life of someone else, but it's difficult to see it in ourselves. First, this evening, I want us to look at this thought that pride, it blinds us from truth, and it blinds us from the reality that things that we deal with. Pride blinds us of truth. Proverbs 29:23 says this, a man's pride shall bring him low. We won't have the time this evening to go through every topic and every verse that deals with pride, but we find here that pride in a man brings him low. Pride is what destroys a person. Pride does not exalt a person. Pride will bring a man low, and pride blinds somebody. And Obadiah 1:3, the Bible says, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground?" What he's saying here is the pride. You think that nothing can bring you down, and you're here exalted, and you're here high, and you say, "What could bring me down?" And that's pride. Pride deceives you. Pride will cause you to think that you're greater than what you really are. Pride will cause someone to think they're more important than they really are. Pride is deceiving. And again, it's so easy to maybe recognize that in the life of someone else, but we need to realize this, that pride, it blinds us at times. We enjoy seeing that flaw in others, or we can easily pick that out of somebody, whether it is in a situation we're in. We might so easily say that person is dealing with pride, or as we watch or study someone close to us, we think they're dealing with pride. And so often we can see it in others, but we can't find it in ourselves. So often we can quickly pick out what somebody else needs to be changed in their own life. And the reality is this, pride is something that each and every one of us ought to search our heart and say, "Holy Spirit of God, reveal in me if there's any area of pride and convict me of it." Pride blinds us. Pride in ourselves says, "I'm better than someone else." I won't ask us to raise our hands this evening, but have you ever thought to yourself that we're better than somebody? Pride will cause someone to feel that they're better. Pride in a Christian says that I'm a better Christian than someone else. Or maybe look at someone else and say to ourselves, because of what I do or because of what I am, I'm better than someone. In reality, that's pride. What pride is looking at someone or looking at a situation and feeling that I'm better because of a situation because someone else is going through. Pride in ourselves says that God is more pleased with me than anyone else. And that's pride. I remember when we first had Jacob, you know, I thought to myself, there is no possible way that I could love someone as much as I love my first child. And when Michelle said that we were expecting our second, I might even had this conversation with her. I thought to myself, and probably even said this out loud, this poor second child. There's no way we're going to be able to love this second child like we do this first child. This, once we found out it was a girl, this little girl is going to have a complex. Because I don't think we could love as much as we love Jacob. You know what we found? We love that second one just as much as that first one. I can't explain it. So which one would you choose? I couldn't choose one or the other. I love them both. Then when she says, and it seems like she did this to us every couple years, guess what? We're going to have another one. And I thought, okay, I understand. I can love the first one and the second one, but I don't know how I can love a third one as much as I love the first two. You know what I found? You can love a third one just as much as you love the second and the third one. And then she did it again. The fourth one comes. And you know what we learned? Every single one of them, we love the same. There's not one that we can pick and choose. Last evening, my daughter Lily, Kenzie was sitting next to me. They're getting ready for bed, and they're packing their lunches. And my wife had these little soup things that they're taking to lunch, and there was only one left. Well, we have four going to lunch and only one soup cup left, so that causes some problems in the Rand's house. And so Lily comes up very kindly to Kenzie as she's sitting next to me, and she says, "You took my soup cup." And Mackenzie said, "I didn't take your soup cup. I took it out of the cabinet." She says, "Yes, but that one was mine." And she looks at me. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, "Well, that was mine. I was going to get that out of my lunch. I was just going to leave it there until tomorrow morning, then get it tomorrow morning." And Mackenzie says, "Well, sorry, you didn't get it." And so they go back and forth, and they look at me like I'm supposed to decide who gets the soup cup. I thought of what Solomon said. We just cut it in half. And they didn't like that idea. But the reality is, you know, something so simple, I didn't want to choose. I saw if I choose one, then the other one's not going to get it. If I choose that one, then the other one's not going to get it. And I just didn't want to choose. You know, the reason why is because I love both of them, and both of them were important to me, and neither one was more important, and both of them needed something. You know, the reality is this, God loves each and every one of us the same. There's not one that he loves more than someone else. And so if we see ourselves as maybe more important than someone else, or we see ourselves more important to God than another child of God, then that is pride that allows that in our life. Because to God, when he sees us, he still sees his child. And the reality is this, he loved us so much, he sent his son for all of us, not just one of us. You see, pride causes us to see ourselves more important. Pride says maybe to our own life that God is more pleased with me or loves me more than someone else. And the reality is this, God loves us the same. And the Lord hates pride. Pride is a sin that is invisible. You know, one of the difficult things Christian is in dealing with pride is we don't see it. You know, for some, it might be easier to deal with maybe an addiction or deal with something physical in their life because it's something they could see. It's something they can deal with. But the reality is this, pride in our life, we don't always see. We might see the fruit of it, or we might see circumstances that are caused because of pride. But pride itself, at times, it's invisible in our life and we don't see it. And it takes that stronghold in our life and it changes things in our life. You know, as I think about through the Bible, Satan was full of pride. It was Satan that said, I want to be like God. It was Satan that said that I want to receive glory, and I want God's power, and I want God's praise, and I want to be like God. It was Satan that desired that, and it was pride that caused him to desire something that was not his. And thinking about that, it's Satan that was full of pride. There's an attribute when we possess pride in our life. If we're dealing with pride in our life, then we possess something that causes us to be more like Satan and not more like God. If we're dealing with pride, if we're struggling with pride, if pride is something where we see ourselves as something better, we see ourselves as something more important, we see ourselves and we deal with pride in our life, then that is an attribute, not that God has, it's an attribute that Satan possessed. You know, I've never seen a Christian, and I would dare say you probably have never either seen a person accused of possessing the fruit of the Spirit while they're full of pride. You can't have both. The Holy Spirit of God isn't working and you're possessing the fruit of the Spirit while you're full of pride. The two don't work together. And here we come to this valley gate. There's an area in our life that if there's an area that probably every single one of us at some point need to take a look at, we need to pray, we need to ask the Lord to reveal this area in our life, it's the area of pride. Because we cannot be full of pride and expect the Holy Spirit to be working and controlling us. You see, pride, it causes one's world to revolve around them. It causes our thoughts and our desires and our world, it all must revolve around me, what I want. It all revolves around me. And when your life comes to the place where it always revolves around you, then you will not come to a place where you're able to minister to others. A prideful person does not minister to others. A prideful person's at a place where everything must revolve around them and everyone must minister to them. Now, Christian, I want to remind you this evening, that is the opposite of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus came to this world and took upon sin and went to the cross, and we'll be celebrating his resurrection on Sunday. And if you study the life of Christ, you study somebody that's giving of themselves and ministering to others and left heaven's home and came to this earth, became man. If you look at the life of Christ, you do not see someone that's consumed with pride and consumed with arrogance and life is about me. He gave of himself. It's interesting, those that put him on the cross and those that mocked him and those that beat him, in his response to them was this, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Isn't it ironic, the apostles that were with him, the disciples, and Peter cursed him and denied him, and Peter was the one that preached in Pentecost, and the Lord blessed him, and Thomas is the one that doubted him, and the Lord still loved him. And isn't it amazing, as you look at the life of Christ, that you find someone that's ministering to others, and when we as humans get caught with pride, and we deal with pride, and life revolves around me, and it must be my way, and it's got to be what I want, we come to the place where we stop ministering to others. Pride always causes one's actions to have an ulterior motive too. You see, at times pride will cause someone to do something to be seen in the eyes of someone else greater. That's pride. And the Lord said about pride, he said, I hate pride. Number two, I want to think about pride and look at this thought with pride this evening. Proverbs 13:10 says this, only by pride cometh contention. You know what? Pride not only blinds us and causes us not to see reality, pride also causes contention in unnecessary places. Number two, this gate, this area in our life that we need to deal with, and in humility, pride, it causes contention in unnecessary places. Only by pride, Proverbs says, cometh contention. You see, at times things are said through pride that hurts others. Have you ever said something that you did not want to say to someone, maybe in an argument or in a conversation, only to realize that it's hurt somebody? See, pride will cause someone to, on purpose, want to desire to hurt somebody. I dealt with a situation this past week with a student, and I said, did you mean to hurt that person by what you did? You know what that student said to me? Yes. That wasn't the answer I was looking for. I had to regroup in my mind. I was going one place, and the way he answered, I thought, oh, we got to go a different place now. I said, well, maybe he didn't hear what I said, so I asked him the question again, and you know what he said? The same answer. You see, pride at times desires to hurt somebody because they deserve it. They hurt me. Pride causes us to say something. Pride causes contention in unnecessary places. It causes us to be mean-spirited. It causes us to say maybe something hateful. It causes us to say something in revenge. Pride. You know, every marriage would improve if pride was forsaken. Pride hurts marriages. Pride says my way, and pride says how it makes me feel. Pride says there's no room for others that have an opinion in this. That's pride. You see, pride says my opinion is the best opinion and is the only opinion that needs to be considered. And the reality is this, there are others' opinions that matter. But pride will cause contention in unnecessary places in our life. Pride says there's no room for love unless that love is toward me. That's selfishness. But you know, as human beings, at times it's difficult to show love without love being returned. But the reality is this, pride says, I'll love if you love me back, or I'll love if the love I get back is greater. But Christ showed love to us, and it wasn't based upon our love for him. He simply loved us when we weren't lovable. He loved us when we were found in trespasses and sin. He loved us. It didn't matter how much we loved him. He still loved us and gave his life for us. But pride, if we're not careful, pride says there's no room for love unless that love is toward me. I can't love you unless you love me. I've learned some time ago that contention, that if I have contention, I always ask the Lord this, Lord, is it my pride? If you ever get in a place of contention, I think the best thing to do, instead of say, you know what, I think it's that person, and we may have even used this in an argument, maybe we get into a situation with someone and we say to them, you know what, where there's pride, there's contention, there's pride, meaning this, you better check your pride. We use that verse for them to be sure that you're evaluating, because we're having contention, and obviously this has got to be you. I learned this, when we get into a place of contention and we get into a place that's difficult, the first thing that we ought to say is, Lord, reveal that pride in my life. Before I want to point a finger at someone else, before I want to accuse somebody else, I want to say, Lord, make sure it's not me, and if it's me, then deal with me so that we can remove contention. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and to show you pride. You see, contention will come. Be sure, as we deal with contention and deal with circumstance in our life, be sure that it's not my pride that's causing this. It's important. It's imperative that we repair this valley gate. It's important. It's important in our life that we take this valley gate in application here is with humility. We need to be sure there's no pride and that we surrender our lives to the Lord, not allow pride to fill us. Thirdly, I want to make mention of this, repair the places of pride in your life so that God can work. God resists the proud. That means this, that God can't work where there's pride. I want God to work, don't you? I want Him to work in my marriage. I want Him to work in my home. I want Him to work in my friendships. I want Him to work in our church. I don't want resistance. If there's someone in my life that I don't want resistance from, it's definitely God. But one sure way to have God resist what I'm wanting to do is pride. He resists it. I think if we were to ask everyone, we'd agree, we want God working with us, not against us. I want God working in my marriage, not against it. I want God working in my friendships, not against them. I want God working in our church, not against it. And therefore, I need to be sure that pride is not there so God doesn't resist that pride. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter number 40, please. Isaiah chapter number 40. Repair places. We find in Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And in verse number 4, he says, this is how we must prepare. If we want the Lord to meet with us, if we want the King to visit with us, the number 4, it must happen. We must take every valley. What's the Bible say? Shall be exalted. In every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places must be made plain. And what happens in verse number 5 when that is dealt with, when the valley is exalted and the mountains and the hills are made low and the crooked places are made straight and the rough places are plain, what happens when that happens? Verse number 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. You see, in an area in our life of this valley gate, the reality, the problem is this, pride resists the Lord's working. Pride is, I'm better, or my opinion is right, or my way is a better way. And what we're really doing when we're full of pride, we think it's towards someone else. But what's happening is this, we're really resisting God working. And Isaiah says here in chapter number 40 that we are to take those areas of our life and in the valleys, and they've got to be exalted. The mountains got to be brought down low, where there can't be haughtiness, there can't be pride. There's got to be complete humility so that God can work in the glory. In verse number 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And that's what we desire. I want God's glory to be revealed in my life. I want it to be revealed in the areas that I'm in dealing with in my life. And the same would be true for you. You want the glory of the Lord to be revealed, and He'll reveal Himself when verse number 4 is done. And we must repair those places of pride. Pride is one of those invisible things, friend, this evening that we must say, Lord, is it in me? Pride will cause us to sit and say, you know what? It's not. It's somebody else. It's another situation, it's not me. Pride is one of those areas that I believe that if we're not careful, we can just look over and contentions continue to come and problems continue to come and haughtiness and arrogance. And as we look through these valleys, these gates, this fourth gate, we come to the sheep gate, we come to the fish gate, we come to the old gate. And this evening, now let's come to this gate, this valley gate. And every single one here this evening say, God, is it pride in my life? Is there pride? Is there contentions in home and contentions at work, contentions at church? If there's contentions in areas of my life, God, reveal to me, is it my pride? If it is, I want those low places to be made high. I want those high places to be made low. The crooked places, I want those to be made straight. I want those rough places in my life to be made plain because I want God to meet. Humility. Not talking about false humility. I'm humble this evening. I'm talking about true humility, where we say that our life is lived so that God receives glory. God receives praise. God receives honor. The decisions I make in my life ought to bring glory and honor to God, not make me look better. How I see myself in relationship with others, it isn't about me and what I can get, but it's got to be about what I can give and how I can minister. But pride says no. It's about you. Humility says, It's about others.